The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs. Will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, I wish I had a breaking news sounder. Breaking news, breaking news.
Well, to be clear, through events that are under our control and not under our control, we don't have the votes. Okay? That's in speaking to the leadership, speaking to the president. I think Lindsay and he are on speed dial. We've made the decision, since we don't have the votes, we will postpone that vote.
That was Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, of Graham Cassidy, speaking about their bill, you know, the Graham Cassidy, the official name for Trump Care, saying they don't have the votes. So there will not be a vote on Saturday, September 30th. The deadline for them to pass Trump Care this go around using reconciliation, meaning that they only need 50 votes to do it, because that's the end of the fiscal year. Now, I got my own question answered from last week. I vowed to find out. They can take it up again starting October 1st, but they do have to start from scratch. And who knows? I do know that they did vow to do that. Here's Lindsey Graham, who stepped up to the microphone shortly after this luncheon at which they decided to scrap the vote.
To the leader, thank you. It's complicated. It's difficult politics. Instead of quitting, you allowed us to move forward.
Sounds like he's accepting an award.
We've come in such a short period of time. To President Trump, thank you for engaging. To Vice President Pence, you have moved mountains. Governor Pence has shown us that with flexibility, governors with the right attitude can improve quality. It's called Healthy Indiana. So the leadership team has done everything we've asked them.
But
we're coming back to this after taxes.
Uh-oh.
We're going to have time to explain our concept. We'll have a better process.
Really?
And we're going to take this show on the road.
They're going to take the show on the road. And Mitch McConnell?
We haven't given up on changing the American healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
We are not going to be able to do that this week, but it still lies ahead of us, and we haven't given up on that. We do think it's time to turn to our twin priority, reforming the tax code. We've reached significant agreements inside the Budget Committee to go forward, and I'm optimistic that we'll achieve that.
You see, and I just glanced over at the chat room at NicoleSandler.com, the Listen Live page, and there's Robert Hill in New York City saying, I'll say again, this September 30th thing is, quote, according to the rules, and these goons don't play by the rules. They ain't done. And that really is the point of what I want to talk to you about right now. I pulled the editorial from today's New York Times to share with you. I'm not going to read the whole thing because some of it is now slightly moot, but I'm going to share some of it. It's written by David Leonhardt, who is one of my favorite writers over there these days. He's the guy who wrote the editorial, on the editorial page. It was a few months ago now. All of Trump's lies since he took office, he detailed them. Yeoman's work, I gotta say. But anyway, the headline reads, Trump Care is dead. Long live the Trump Care opposition. And this was, you know, published this morning. So it was before they pulled the votes, but after yesterday's news, in which Senator Susan Collins said she was a firm no. Now, here's my problem and why I didn't celebrate last night. And that's because Rand Paul is one of those three no votes, and I don't believe I can trust Rand Paul for a second, not a second. So Let me share with you some of what David Leonhardt wrote, because it still holds true today. He writes, the effort to take away health insurance from millions of people known by the name it deserves, Trump Care, seems to have failed again. The latest version, the Graham-Cassidy bill, looks doomed, with three Republican senators joining all 48 Democrats and independents in opposition. 3 plus 48 equals 51, and 51 no votes equals defeat. Thank goodness. More specifically, thank goodness for the citizens who have rallied against the bill, the disabled activists who protested on Capitol Hill yet again on Monday. Yeah. Got to give them a little bit of applause. The callers who flooded the Senate switchboard. Yeah. And the experts who dispassionately explained the bill's brutal effects, and many others. This outpouring has left Republican leaders without the votes to pass a bill by Saturday, the end of the federal fiscal year. Key point here. If they don't meet that September 30th deadline, Senate rules force them to start the process all over again, which is why many observers are declaring Obamacare repeal to be dead. But it is not dead. By now, everyone should have learned that President Trump, still have a hard time putting those two words together, sorry, and Mitch McConnell are not going to give up until absolutely forced to. They didn't give up when bills failed this summer, and they won't give up if they miss the September 30th deadline. They have promised their base and their donors that they will repeal Barack Obama's signature achievement, extending decent medical care to the sick, the poor, and the middle class. As long as Trump and McConnell believe that they're close to finding 51 votes, they will be tempted to try again. They can restart the process in October or beyond. All right, this is David Leonhardt writing in the New York Times on the editorial page. He goes on and writes at length about Lisa Murkowski, who, as far as I can tell, still hasn't said where she would have voted if they were to take a vote on Saturday or before. Now, I played you those three little clips of Bill Cassidy, Lindsey Graham, and Mitch McConnell. I missed the very beginning of it, but at some point in it, Lindsey Graham said something about read Lisa Murkowski's entire statement. And and I went searching for it, and I couldn't find it anywhere. So maybe this came out around the same time as, you know, they made the announcement that they weren't going to have a vote, in which case I'll keep looking. But I don't believe Lisa Murkowski, and maybe someone in the chat room can inform me if I can see it. It's one of the problems with not having a producer. I don't have anyone talking in my ear and giving me answers. Whether or not she did come out one way or the other, I believe she would have voted no. Because she can't, because otherwise everything she would have said in the last few months will have been a lie. I don't put that beyond many Republicans, but I think she was against it for the right reasons. She was against the BCRA for the right reasons. She was against the skinny repeal. So I think she would have been a no. But he goes on to say there are, David Leonhardt in this editorial, there are several other uncommitted Republicans as well. Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia and Rob Portman of Ohio are on the list, and both of their states would suffer badly under Graham Cassidy. Ted Cruz of Texas and Mike Lee of Utah also have not announced their stances. All are now freed from the pressure of being the decisive vote. They're also now freed from having to take a stand, which is too bad. If we really did have the no votes, I wish they would have taken a vote as they did last time, although they didn't know how John McCain was going to vote in advance.
I just Googled Murkowski. There's nothing.
Yeah, David just Googled. Thank you. My sort of producer, David, just Googled the Murkowski statement and still nothing. But Leonhardt writes, the margin of Graham Cassidy's defeat, regardless of whether the Senate actually votes, will shape the next steps on health care. If Republicans come to terms with their total lack of a reasonable repeal plan, more of them will be open to a bipartisan compromise to fix Obamacare's flaws. Such a compromise would encourage red states to sign up fully for Obamacare and, in turn, make future repeal efforts less likely. But now they don't have to weigh in, or they can lie. They can bullshit. And we know Republicans are really good at that. He finishes this editorial. To his credit, Lamar Alexander, the Tennessee Republican, started work on a bipartisan deal before abandoning it last week out of partisan loyalty to Republicans pushing Graham Cassidy. Let me interject. This is the Alexander-Patty Murray deal that they were working on to shore up the cost-sharing, the part of the Obamacare markets that would have kept it solvent and that they need to go back to. Mitch McConnell actually killed that. I don't think Lamar Alexander did it. I think Mitch McConnell did it when Graham Cassidy started picking up steam again. Anyway, back to this piece. But if the bill seems permanently defeated, Alexander will be able to resume the role of Senate statesman. He is well suited for it in his third term, having previously been a governor and a cabinet member, and he doesn't need to let himself get pushed around again. The off-again, on-again for Trump care has been grueling. You think? The activists, congressional staff members, and others who have done heroic work in defense of their fellow citizens have good reason to feel exhausted. Unfortunately, it's still not, again, hear these words. Unfortunately, it's still not time to rest or celebrate, but victory is getting closer. You know when victory will be here? I don't know when Election Day is, but let's say January 1st, 2019, when the new Congress is sworn in and hopefully a Democratic majority in the House and possibly Senate. And the only way that's going to happen is if everybody gets out and votes. I was just hearing a piece on Tom Hartman's show, somebody calling in from Virginia who got a call from an activist group telling him, you need to check your voter registration and make sure it's still good. And he did check his and he was still good, but his wife all of a sudden had become unregistered. And he then alerted his friends to check theirs. And some of them had become unregistered. Chris Kobach is on a mission with the blessings of the Trump administration to purge people from the voter rolls. So not only do you, number one, need to make sure that you register now if you're not yet registered. Number two, check your registration to make sure that you haven't been purged accidentally or otherwise. And three, get out and vote when the time comes. Democrats are historically not good at voting in midterms, although I think, you know, the impetus is there now to make them vote. But look, we have a chance to make this permanent, get to a point, or as permanent as things can be with the state of our government, and making sure they can't keep going back to pulling this. Now, I just read somewhere that John McCain put the same onus, if you will, on tax reform that he did on the Obamacare repeal, which is process. He said he'll vote against any tax reform bill if it's, you know, if they do it the same way, if they try to do it without bipartisan support, if they try to do it without hearings, without regular process. So, you know, thank goodness for John McCain. I never in a million years thought I'd say that. I watched the 60 Minutes interview. I don't know if you got to see it. But the new season of 60 Minutes began on Sunday night, and there was an interview with John McCain. And Leslie Stahl asked him if his diagnosis has changed him, and he said, no, not at all. Look, I'm not inside John McCain's head. I can't speak for him. But boy, if ever it seemed that a diagnosis changed someone, it seems that it did with John McCain. He said his prognosis is really poor, somewhere from 3 to 14%, which is horrific. I don't know how anyone lives with that. But if his goal is to leave the Senate a more, what's the word, not viable, but a place where both sides can actually work together to get something done, then, good for him. Good for him. All right, today's Tuesday. That means Gotta Laugh is here. She's got her tweet spot queued up. I've got a few to add to it. We got a lot to talk about today. So we'll take a break. We'll get what's news, which is slightly dated at this point because the news about the Graham Cassidy bill not coming up for a vote just came down in the last hour. But there's other news in there as well. There's a lot going on at any given time these days. There's certainly no shortage of news, that's for sure. And then we'll be back with Gotta Laugh next. It's Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Senator Susan Collins on Monday afternoon became the third Republican senator to oppose the Graham-Cassidy bill to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, leaving it with just 49 votes, effectively killing the legislation.
There are many problems in the Affordable Care Act that do need to be fixed. However, it was clear to me that the Graham-Cassidy bill was not the answer. It had three major flaws. First, it made sweeping and fundamental changes in the traditional Medicaid program. It would have changed the program in a way that would have put health care at risk for some of our most vulnerable citizens, including disabled children and low-income seniors, by cutting $1 trillion out of the program from the years 2020 to 2036. So that was of great concern to me. Second, the bill clearly opened the door to weakening the protections for people with pre-existing conditions like asthma or cancer or diabetes or arthritis. It would require insurers to offer them insurance and to renew their insurance, but their rates could well be unaffordable. There was no definition in the bill of affordability.
Collins' decision came after the Congressional Budget Office released a preliminary report saying that millions of Americans would lose coverage by 2026 and $1 trillion would be cut from Medicaid. The bill's apparent defeat came after an updated version was released early Monday that would have given extra funds to both Maine and Alaska in an obvious effort to buy support from Collins of Maine and Alaska's Lisa Murkowski. The Senate Finance Committee held the one and only hearing on Graham-Cassidy on Monday afternoon. The hearing was delayed due to protests in which 181 people were arrested.
I'd like to welcome everyone, and I do mean everyone. If you want a hearing, if you want a hearing, you better shut up.
On Monday night, CNN held a debate between independent and Democratic Senators Bernie Sanders and Amy Klobuchar and Republicans Lindsey Graham and Bill Cassidy. When asked about the president's attacks on John McCain for his opposition of the repeal and replace bill, Lindsey Graham stood up for his friend.
He is one of my dearest friends in the world, and John McCain can do whatever damn he wants to. He's earned that right. Now, so Senator McCain has talked about a better process. John, if you're listening. If we fall short, we'll try to have a better process. Nobody respects you more than I do. So to any American who's got a problem with John McCain's vote, all I can tell you is that John McCain was willing to die for this country, and he can vote any way he wants to, and it doesn't matter to me in terms of country.
It's now uncertain whether the bill will come to the floor for a vote or not. Following Donald Trump's address to the UN and his subsequent tweets referring to Kim Jong-un as Little Rocket Man and threatening that they might not be around much longer, North Korea's foreign minister said that the U.S. had declared war on his country.
The growing concern comes after President Trump stepped up his personal insults against Kim Jong-un, labeling him Little Rocket Man and tweeting he won't be around much longer. Beyond rhetoric, the U.S. this weekend flew two advanced bombers near North Korea's border. North Korea's foreign minister replied today. Since the United States declared war on our country, he said, we will have the right to make countermeasures, including shooting down U.S. bombers even outside North Korean airspace.
During Monday's White House press briefing, Press Secretary Sarah Sanders disputed their interpretation of the president's bluster.
We've not declared war on North Korea, and frankly, the suggestion of that is absurd.
Puerto Rico's Governor Ricardo Rosello said that the island is on the brink of a humanitarian crisis and called on Congress to increase funding in order to prevent further disaster, with little response from Washington. The president had tweeted 20 times about the NFL over the weekend, but remained mum on Puerto Rico until Monday night when, in a series of tweets, he appeared to blame Puerto Rico's financial issues for its problems. Following a weekend report that Jared Kushner had used a private email account for White House business, the New York Times is reporting that at least six of Trump's closest advisors, including Steve Bannon, Reince Priebus, Gary Cohn, Stephen Miller, and Ivanka Trump, occasionally use private email addresses to discuss White House matters. And the NFL protests continued on Monday Night Football when the Dallas Cowboys, along with their owner Jerry Jones, knelt before the national anthem, then stood and linked arms during it. The president stoked controversy around the protest by suggesting that team owners fire players who kneel during the national anthem and claiming that the protests have nothing to do with race. I got good news. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution. Our work is 100% listener funded, and we can't do it without you. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal, and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit. With Laffy.
Yes, gotta laugh. You love her on the Twitters. She joins us every Tuesday to, as the man said, shoot the shit. To speak. Hello.
Yes, you've reached the Taking a Knee hotline.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, press 1 if you think instead of taking a knee, Trump may end up taking a plea.
Ooh, yeah, it's not soon enough.
Beepity beep. Press 2 if you think by trying to distract with racist comments about take a knee, Trump is trying once again to make it all about me, me, me.
Beep, 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 beep.
And press 3 if you think instead of watching athletes take a knee, Trump would rather be watching hookers take a pee.
Yeah, he's done that, but, you know, he repeats himself all the time. Have you noticed?
If he had his druthers, he would be doing that.
Yes.
Instead of embarrassing himself reading off cue cards and teleprompters and calling the Prime Minister of Spain president.
But he, you know what? Yeah. I saw your tweet on that. He actually is also known as the President of Spain.
Oh, is he?
He is.
Okay, because everybody was correcting him in the journalism
really?
World.
No, but, he is the Prime Minister, but I heard it earlier on somewhere that he's also known as the President. So El Presidente. Yeah.
Oh, well, I couldn't nail him on that one. That's one out of a million.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, there's plenty to nail him on. For instance, did you know that he's going to Puerto Rico on Tuesday? You know, his little statement, he said it. He repeats himself constantly. He said it three times. It's the soonest his schedule, you know, the schedule would allow without, you know, getting in the way of the first responders. And then he repeated it again and then again.
I think he did that because he's been so criticized about this, you know, for his apparent lack of interest, that he is nailing it down. I am going. I'm interested. You guys are wrong.
Right.
You know, that's his way of just saying I'm right.
Yeah. Oh, and we may go to the Virgin Islands, too. I think now someone told him Puerto Rico is part of the United States, but they neglected to tell him that the U.S. Virgin Islands are as well.
It's called the U.S. Virgin Islands. He did say that at the press conference. He made it more definitive. He didn't say, I might go. He said, I'm going.
Oh, okay. To the Virgin Islands.
I mean,
so somebody then told him, no, that's part of the United States as well. They're known as territories.
Yes, exactly. You know, they have to tell them a lot of things. Like, you can't drive a car across to an island. You have trucks.
Right, and it's in the middle of an ocean. It's a really big ocean.
a really big ocean. Yes, he sounded like somebody tweeted. He sounded like he was reading from a Dick and Jane book.
Yes,
this was an ocean, a really big ocean.
Because
look, ocean, look.
Those are the notes that they give him so that he can understand it and grasp what they're telling him. Instead of giving him detailed briefing books, you know, they give him a one page with bullet points
written in crayon,
of course,
with glitter.
Right.
Yeah.
So he
and
can
he
get
puts,
it.
He gets to like glue. Like macaroni, dried macaroni on it, and then he eats the paste afterwards.
Well, it goes along with his diet of Kentucky Fried Chicken and McDonald's.
That's right.
That's what he
with
likes.
A side of paste.
With a side of paste.
That's how he orders it from the White House chef. Yes, can I have my Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets, and I mean buckets, plural, and then give me that side of paste along with the coleslaw.
Right. That's why he loves the grandchildren so much, because, you know,
yes,
they're on his
yes.
mental level.
No, he gets to use their toys. He gets to eat their paste and they can play. Grandma, Grandma, Grandpa ate my paste again. Ma, Grandma.
By the way, one news item that I didn't get to in today's What's News, because I'm so sick of it, is today's Republican senatorial primary, the runoff mm-hmm. between Roy Moore and what's his name, Luther Strange. By the way, in that radio interview that he did with Rich and Bubba down in Alabama, those were really their names, mm-hmm. he kept calling him Ray. And they finally had to tell him that his name is Roy Moore, not Ray Moore.
I didn't catch that.
Yes.
By the way, he Moore pulled out a gun last night at his campaign rally.
I saw that because he's a fan of the Second Amendment.
It's also because he doesn't have a penis, so he had to use that.
But the gun was really small, so what does that say?
It's he's always you know, talking about a small gun, I guess.
I guess. I don't know.
Oh boy, you want to
anyway,
go into Twitch?
Wait, but before we do,
yeah.
Proud Skell in the chat room made a note. He said Doug Jones has an outside shot of defeating Moore or Strange here. Yeah, I guess Proud Skell is in Alabama. Please give DougJonesForSenate.com. DougJonesForSenate.com. He's a former federal prosecutor who prosecuted a Birmingham church bombing case. So again, Doug Jones is not on the ballot today. Today is just the Republican primary runoff, but he will be whenever the special election is held. And I'm not sure of the date of the final election, but it's got to be coming up soon. So, you know, the word is if Roy Moore, not Ray Moore, but if Roy Moore wins, that Doug Jones does have an outside chance of winning. So, you know, whatever help you can give him, give him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's keep our little fingers crossed then.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So there's one other note I need to give. And that's a programming note. Our show will remain here. We do it live. We do it live 3 to 4 Eastern right here at NicoleSandler.com. It's on the Listen Live page. It's easy to get to. There's a couple of ways to listen on that page through our TuneIn channel. You can get it. And we have been on the Progressive Voices Network also from 3 to 4 Eastern Live. 1 week from, or actually next Monday, that's going to change. Progressive Voices is moving us to 6 p.m. Eastern. But the live show will remain here at 3 o'clock. So people watching on YouTube, everything will be the same. If you listen via NicoleSandler.com/listen-live, we'll still be on at 3 Eastern. If you listen on the Progressive Voices Network, though, they're switching me with Leslie Marshall for some reason. That wasn't my doing. So so we'll still be here, same time, same place. Progressive Voices, though, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. But the live show will still be 3 p.m. Eastern. All right. I know some people, you know, only listen on certain days of the week. So I want to be sure that I mention it each day this week. So someone goes looking for us on Progressive Voices next week, you know what happened. All right.
That makes sense to me. I think everybody's clear on that now. And it gives them one more shot at hearing you. I mean, you know, if they can't come in live and they don't have the ability for some reason to listen to your podcast, they've got one more shot.
Right.
So,
and of course, the podcast is always available. It goes up probably within a half hour after the show ends. So
yeah, you are quick at that. I got to tell you, I'm always surprised when I see it pop up in my Twitter stream.
I'm quick when my computer doesn't malfunction. It was when it malfunctions and I have to pull the audio off of YouTube. It's sometimes takes hours.
That's not good. Okay, well, but most of the time,
Most of the time, I'm right there. All right, so let's get to that tweet spot, shall we?
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay, so Laffy combs the Twitters and finds all kinds of stuff that we might otherwise have missed.
I comb the Twitters. That is exactly what I do. I take out a comb.
Mm-hmm. Like a lice and comb.
I try to get rid of them snarls. And I try to. My mistake, of course, was pouring hair conditioner all over it.
Well, you have to do that when you're using the lice comb to get the little lice nits, you know.
Oh, God, I think something's wrong with my brain today. Too much Trump. Too much Trump. Brian Karam, a White House reporter who's really good, he said, if you think, okay, a lot of this is going to be about taking the knee. Because the Twitters went crazy yesterday.
You know, before you go there, this, I got to say, so much this weekend and yesterday, I was trying to get the audio of the North Korean foreign minister interpreter saying the United States has declared war. And I watched so many shows on MSNBC. Well, I watched Nicole Wallace, and I watched Meet the Press Daily or whatever it's called, and I watched Ari Berman. And none of the three of them aired anything about North Korea. My brain is trumped too.
Allie Belshi, I believe, had it on. And who's, what's his, Hallie Jackson? I saw it earlier
in the day. That's why I thought one of those shows would do it and I'd be able to record it. And none of them did. Because they spent so much time, like Ari Melber and the Chuck Todd's, which was hosted by Steve Kornacki yesterday. And the first two segments were all about the NFL and take a knee. Now, look, I get it's a big deal. What they're protesting is huge, but Dump pushed it out of the stratosphere by calling so much attention to it. But my God, North Korea says we declared war against them, and Kim Jong Un is saying, he's going to retaliate and shoot down our bombers or our planes, and oh my God.
I know. It's usually the primetime shows that concentrate on that stuff. I know Brian Williams does, and I know Maddow does, and I know that Allie Velshi does. He tries to give it a big smattering His talking point, actually, that he's acquired over the last several weeks has been, we don't just concentrate on one thing, Trump. We actually do cover other things than whatever you're saying, you know.
Right. So, well, a lot of the criticism has been leveled at the lack of some, coverage of Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, because especially Puerto Rico, it's just been, in terms of response from the government, Lester Holt, thank you. I'm telling you, my brain is trumped as well. Lester Holt did his stand up from Puerto Rico last night. So, you know, that at least the networks are attempting to be there and cover
it. Again, Velshi really covers Puerto Rico. Velshi leads off with it, and as did Maddow. I think she led off with it last night or the night before. Well, so, yeah, there are certain people who will concentrate on that and others who just don't. They mention it in the last minute.
Yes. Well, they need to, because what's going on there is devastating. It is just so, so sad. And Trump says he's getting great reviews.
Oh, yes. Everybody thinks he's great. He's done the best job ever that any president ever did ever in the history of ever. So,
but did he say heck of a job yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. He's getting there.
All right. Sorry, I interrupted.
Brian Karam. So he said, if you think protesting against racial discrimination is a protest against America, it shows a lot about what you think America is about. And then, so that stands alone. Yeah. So
yes, it does.
There you go. He's right. If that's what you think.
Well, Trump just got it wrong. He's like, they're not protesting the flag or the national anthem, which is truly a heinous song. Anyway, it's all about bombing and war.
Of course it is. No wonder he loves it.
Right. If he knows the lyrics, he probably, you know, I don't know if it was you who said it or I read a tweet. Someone said,
He's reading it.
If he probably couldn't recite the lyrics without Googling them first.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was Take Me Out to the Ball Game. He was reading the lyrics to. he was really singing off key. It was the most embarrassing little clip. But,
All right.
So Richard Painter, the Bush ethics lawyer that has become very visible on TV, he was commenting on a BuzzFeed report that Steve Bannon tried to spy on Facebook by planting a mole in the company. And according to internal emails, Bannon was seeking to gain insight into Facebook's hiring process. And Richard Painter, who is, again, a lawyer, said lying to Facebook to plant a mole there is likely criminal. DOJ and state AGs must investigate. Well, that's not going to happen. But maybe state. Maybe. Clint Smith, who I've seen around a few times in my stream, retweeted, a writer and a teacher and a great commentator, apparently, said, just a reminder to journalists, if something is racist and you don't call it racist, that's not being objective. That's not doing your job. I couldn't agree more.
Absolutely.
I am so tired of journalists allowing things to be said without calling them out like that.
And many times they don't, because they feel like it's just their job to report on what's said without offering an explanation or a definition of what's going on there.
Well, you know what? If something is racist factually, then they're reporting news. So they should be saying, factually, this is racism.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So there. Igor Bobik from HuffPost said, does Trump think there are any, quote, very fine people who are kneeling? Quote, you're trying to conflate different things here, the press secretary said.
You know, I have that. I have that clip. I actually was watching I don't do a show on Mondays. I was watching the press briefing yesterday and I recorded some of it. It was a great question. Here we go.
Does the president believe that there are very fine people who kneeled yesterday watching those games, or are they all SOBs?
I think you're trying to conflate different things here. Look, we certainly respect the rights that people have, but I think we need to focus. Again, this isn't about the president being against something, which is what everybody wants to drive. This is about the president being for something. This is about the president being respect in our country through symbols like the American flag, like the national anthem, and the hundreds of thousands of people that actually stand versus the few hundred that may have knelt.
Knelt.
You know what he was for? He's for racism. So that's all you need to know.
He is.
Bill Mitchell, a Trump pundit, if you've ever listened to him or seen him on Twitter, it's really bad. He said, what is more divisive than disrespecting our national anthem before the whole world? And Mark Hamill of Star Wars said, praising neo-Nazis as some very good people.
Yeah, that's spot on.
Ding. You got your dinger.
I do.
Jared Ritzy?
Rizzy. Rizzy.
How do you say it?
Rizzy.
Sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know who that is. He's on Sirius XM. He's a White House correspondent, and I didn't say his name right. So Huckabee S, as I call her, said the focus has long since changed. She says Kaepernick protests no longer about race somehow.
Only
in their minds.
Yeah.
And Rizzi said Trump White House takes white supremacists at their word that their rallies are about heritage, but doesn't let Kaepernick define his take a knee.
Right. You know, there
insert
was
swear words.
Yes. There was a tweet. How there's a tweet for every occasion from Trump. I wish I would have pulled it because I saw it yesterday and I couldn't find it today when I went looking for it, of Trump criticizing Obama for something having to do with the NFL. And I wish I could remember what it was. I'm so not a sports person and I don't remember what Obama weighed in on having to do with the NFL. Someone in the chat room, I'm sure, will tell us. And then Trump responded by saying, you know, don't you have more important things to deal with than,
I remember retweeting that and I can't remember what it is either. So don't feel bad.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. He's always got a tweet for everything. And then he's always,
contradicting himself.
Right. Exactly.
Constantly.
And by the way, Call Me Tripp has a good comment. Ungrateful athlete is the new uppity.
Oh, yes.
Well said and concise. That's very tweetable. I may have to copy that. Anyway, so Rizzy. Oh, I did that one. So
yes.
Manu Raju. I hope I didn't screw
Manu
that
Raju.
Name up. What is it, Manu?
Manu Raju of CNN. I
said Manu.
You put the accent on the wrong syllable.
Yes, I did. I'm sorry, I don't watch CNN, so I don't know these people's names, and I'm embarrassed that I don't. But, oh, yes, he is from CNN. And he said, Sanders, meaning Huckabee Sanders, won't explain why Trump says there were, quote, some very fine people with white supremacists in Charlottesville, but not fine kneeling NFL players again.
Yep.
So people were really picking up on that.
Yes.
That is something that was emphasized, and that's why I put both tweets in there, because the hypocrisy is amazing. The ignorance is remarkable. The lies are insane. And they need to be called out repeatedly so people get them.
Ah, here it is. I knew someone would do a trip.
I see it.
Okay, yeah. President, this is what Trump, it was about the Redskins name. I knew there was something, right?
Right.
And it wasn't, you know, I agree that the Redskins name is objectionable. President should not be telling the Washington Redskins to change their name. Our country has a far bigger problem, has far bigger problems. Focus, all in caps, focus on them, not nonsense. Not that any of this is nonsense, but there's Trump from whenever that was, while Obama was president, criticizing him for weighing in on that, something that is a racial issue. Similar to this, calling it nonsense, but saying that what, you know, the president has more important things to focus on. Yet he spent, in fact, you had this, you tweeted this out.
The chart of how many tweets.
Right. Trump's 46 tweets since Saturday, NFL related, 19 NFL, 3 retweets, 1 Stephen Curry, 1 Penguins visiting the White House. So 24 dealing with this, and other tweets since Saturday, 5 about McCain and healthcare, 4 about the Alabama runoff, 3 about other senators and healthcare, 3 Puerto Rico was already suffering, 3 about Iran and North Korea, 1 more Puerto Rico, and 1 apiece on travel ban, tax reform, and the First Lady.
That
wow.
one about they were already suffering, I remember retweeting that when he did it and quoted Barbara Bush saying, well, they were underprivileged anyway,
yes.
about Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he's Katrina-ing all over the place.
Well, he's also blaming Puerto Rico's current woes from Maria on their financial woes, which, you know, look, they're a territory. We've not done anything to help them deal with this, to get out of the financial morass that they're in. And now he's blaming them for their problems that, you know, are literally rained down on them with Hurricane Maria.
Yeah, the hurricane had nothing to do with it, though,
no,
right?
No, not at all. Not
God.
At all.
All right, so CNBC's Steve Kopak, I got that name right, he tweeted, Sarah Huckabee says private email use is, quote, limited in this White House. However, government rules require that all email go through a White House server.
Uh-huh, and of course, that was before the news broke that there were 6, count them, 6, mm-hmm. at least, that we know of, White House officials who were using a private email address instead of their official .gov address to do White House business.
Right. And then today a story broke how Jared Kushner's lawyer was fooled by an email prankster for the second time this month and offers window into private email scandal. So it was an embarrassing little situation again, and it drew more attention to his private email. So they're hypocrites. They're hypocrites.
Such hypocrisy.
Did I mention they're hypocrites?
They're hypocrites.
Yeah. Oh, you
echo,
got that
echo,
right.
Echo, 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 echo.
Okay, so Jonathan Allen, or should I say Jonathan Allen, of NBC News said, Orrin Hatch notes the Americans with Disabilities Act is one of his proudest accomplishments, to which Steve Dennis of Bloomberg replied, to a room full of people with wheelchairs protesting Medicaid cuts and loss of pre-existing condition protections.
He also told them to shut up.
Yes, I heard that on your...
What's News, right?
On your What's News and in real time. I was just... I mean, it's one thing to try to shout over them, but to say shut up to
shut
them.
Up.
To say shut up to... And wait, isn't this another freedom of speech issue?
I think so.
Every time there's a protest.
Now. I don't know, because they were 181 arrests. People
That's
in wheelchairs.
True.
Yeah. So
the visuals of that, this is something that the GOP is stuck with. They are attached at the hip to these repeating visuals of protesters in wheelchairs being taken out of their wheelchairs or dragged in them out of the room screaming.
Yeah.
It's just heart-wrenching. It's horrible. it makes you sick to see how they're manhandling people who cannot fight back physically.
That's right. That's our government at work.
Oh, my God. But they are certainly fighting back in every other way, and they are very effective.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think they're, you know, a big reason why this thing went down.
Yeah.
Because they made noise.
I totally agree.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so Brian Klass, author, former campaign advisor, who also has some decent tweets that he goes out with. Trump's last six tweets, and this is similar to what we were just talking about, five about professional sports and one childish name-calling tweet threatening to annihilate a nuclear-armed country. Yikes.
Yikes is right. Oh, my God. This is what gets
that,
me.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Let's talk about that. But Derek Cressman answered that. He's an author and an advocate. He said the GOP has found the perfect distractor in chief as they run the country into the ground, destroy health care, and cut billionaire taxes. So while all, you know, we have a billion distractions, we are sitting here listening to people like Joe Cerencioni, who is an expert on nukes and nuclear war and all that stuff, talk about how this is like getting real scary real fast.
Right. Right. It's truly, truly frightening. I mean, the fact that he's calling him Little Rocket Man and threatening they won't be around much longer. It's like, oh, my God. You know, I tweeted something like, you know, stop acting like a 12-year-old. And a couple of people, you know, responded to me. A 12-year-old would be more sensible than this. This is frightening that he's doing this. In fact, there's, I got to share this article with you. North Korea seeks help from Republican analysts. What's up with Trump? North Korean.
I have that tabbed. Exactly. Well, I'm glad you're bringing
here's
this
the article. North Korean government officials have been quietly trying to arrange talks with Republican-linked analysts in Washington in an apparent attempt to make sense of President Trump and his confusing messages to Kim Jong-un's regime. The outreach began before the current eruption of threats between the two leaders, but will probably become only more urgent as Trump and Kim have descended into name-calling that many analysts worry sharply increases the chances of potentially catastrophic misunderstandings. Their number one concern is Trump. They can't figure him out, said one person with direct knowledge of North Korea's approach to Asia experts with Republican connections. They don't know what to make of him, and I guess that's better than them just taking him at his word. There's another one that said they want to know why, and I don't see this in this article, but I read it somewhere else. They want to know why other people in the White House keep contradicting what he is saying, or the other cabinet members keep contradicting what he is saying.
Because nobody can contradict Kim Jong-un.
Right. But, you know, I guess they're hoping that he's not being serious
but meanwhile for Kim Jong-un to come out on TV out of his own mouth and take offense at all this stuff, whether or not people are asking Congress to clarify, apparently their leader doesn't care about that. He is offended. That's who he is. That's who his family was. They take it at face value and they retaliate. And I cannot believe that Trump is so stupid and so self-centered and so consumed with being right or being on top of
His stupid nicknames for people is the way to go. It's one thing to, and it's truly offensive to call for all the names that he made up for his political opponents, but to do this to a foreign leader, especially one sitting on nukes.
Especially that, and that he doesn't see the difference, that nobody has explained, or maybe they have, but he doesn't care or is willfully ignorant about using things like that against foreign leaders, and that international relations and national security is different than having a campaign and having ego rallies.
Yep.
How does he not know this? And if he does know this and doesn't care, how does he not care? And if he does care, why is he doing it? Why
Good
would
question.
He put us all in danger? And why would he put American lives in danger over in South Korea and elsewhere?
Good question.
Japan, you name it. I mean, it's mind-boggling. I don't know how to, you know, you try to rationalize it a
you
little
can't,
bit.
You can't
know?
Rationalize it because
you
he's
can't.
Irrational. There's nothing rational about that man. There's something wrong with him. I mean, for once, I agree with Kim Jong-un. He's deranged. He's a dotard.
Yeah, he is a dotard. So positive Bruins fan, Jeff Israel, just a guy, yeah. I guess, thinking NFL players are, quote, protesting the flag is like thinking Rosa Parks was protesting public transportation.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it.
You know, it's so narrow. It's so willfully. Well, you know, the whole thing here is not about the flag or anything. It's to gin up his base, rile them up, and create a whole new culture war, a whole new race war, and win election. And yep. that's what this is about. It is no basis in fact or morality or anything else.
David wants to weigh in on something.
Oh, yes? Good.
There is another element here that I haven't heard anyone mention, so it's been missed completely, and that is class warfare. The average salary in the NFL is $1.9 million. How many of Trump's supporters do you think make $1.9 million per year? Therefore, it's a very easy setup for him to point at those people over there and say, not only are they black, but they're making way more money than you are. You should very much hate them.
Very good point.
Yep, that is one of the points that was made, I think, on Twitter, that, you know, how dare these these athletes, these multimillionaire athletes, feel oppressed or something
right.
like
as
that.
As if they
right?
didn't work for their living and they have skills that allow them to
and
do
put
what
their
they
lives
do.
At risk because NFL players are getting their brains turned to mush.
Exactly. But, you know, he's going to keep trying to divide so that he can win. It's all about him. Mm-hmm. It's all about the win. It matters nothing about anybody else in the entire country. Only him.
That's, only him. You're
you know,
right.
Just if you have to have a through line, that's the through line.
Yep.
All right. So the AP said, breaking, White House pushes back on North Korea claim, says we have not declared war on the country. And then a Toronto writer, Asif Hossein, and I probably got that wrong. Asif, I should say.
Asif.
Hossein. Quote, our president told the entire world at the UN we might destroy your country. Where'd you get declaration of war from that?
Yeah, well, and also from Twitter, you might not be around much longer, and
here,
worse.
Wait, I'm sorry, news alert. Bob Corker will not run for re-election.
Okay.
Just
that was
so
coming.
Just so you know. And finally, I have a few tabbed, but this is my last one on the sheet. Brian Klass again on news that Iran's supposed missile launch was fake. Per U.S. officials, Fox News is now reporting that this missile launch never happened. The president got duped by an old video from 7 months ago. Good grief.
Wow.
That's just embarrassing.
And he probably saw it on Fox in the first place because that's where he gets his news from.
You know, I think he might have. Who knows? But the fact that he put his himself out there with fake news and got everybody riled up about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was fake news. So let's give him exactly what he deserves. You know, he did exactly what he accuses everybody else of doing. So once again, he's a hypocrite and a liar. And he's a fraud.
Yes. Yeah, you got that right.
So I want to reiterate something. George Takei was putting out a tweet again to reiterate. Today is National Voter Registration Day. Are you registered to vote? Take a moment to double check your registration at verify.vote.org.
Well, and that's a good idea. That goes back to what I was talking about earlier that I heard right. that caller I heard on Tom Hartman's program. They're trying to purge us from their voter rolls. So what is it?
It's verify.vote.org. I did it. It's easy. It takes 2 seconds and you find out right away if you're registered.
Cool. Verify.vote.org. So everyone
right.
should do that. And again, if you're not registered to vote, today's a great day to do it.
Boy, is it ever. Wait, I'm putting it in chat. There you go. I put the link in chat so anybody can pass that around. Okay, so that's George Takei. All right, so the Daily Edge put out a tweet. Breaking, so-called, quote, billionaire, real Donald Trump, owes Puerto Rico $33 million. Now would be a good time to repay
it. I saw that. They could use the money right now, Donald, but he doesn't repay debts. Well, so he says.
It was for his bankrupt golf course back in 2015. He's PolitiFact put something out about it. So, yeah, he could donate.
Mm-hmm.
He could donate. Let's see. What is this? Oh, so Roger Stone spoke today
oh, God.
To the cameras.
Yes.
he went into which committee was it?
I think it was the House Intelligence Committee.
Thank you. And he came out, and I only half listened because it's Roger Stone. And for those of you who don't know, back in 2014, he tweeted me, "I hope you choke to death on your hypocrisy, you ignorant bitch."
Nice.
So I don't really listen to him.
He seems like
much.
A nice guy.
Yeah, he's a doll.
Right.
Anyway, he came out. He plugged InfoWars. he said something. I'm reading from a tweet by Andrew Desiderio. Oh, God. Here's another one. I'm going to screw up. Desiderio?
Sounds good.
Desiderio? And he said that he called Jackie Smears. This is my day for mispronunciation. I apologize to everybody on earth right now. He calls Jackie Spear smear.
Right.
I guess she said something that he figured was a smear and says Trump should fire Mueller. He also said he wasn't definitive, but he says he didn't think that there was collusion. And he worded it a little more vaguely. But
yeah, I pulled some audio from him and then I deleted it because I just.
No. It's not
yeah,
worth it.
Wasn't interested. After interviewing him, I've had my fill of Roger Stone.
Oh, you! I don't even know how you did that. I was gagging the whole time I was listening. Not at you, of course, but
right.
At you, I refresh my whole being by listening to
aww.
You. Yeah. Anyway, so Pat Tillman.
Yeah.
Trump used Pat Tillman in a tweet. And Tillman's widow came out and said Americans' right to protest was why her husband gave his life.
There you go.
She said her husband's image should not be politicized.
And there you go again.
Yeah. He used both words and image or something. And I don't remember the tweet I did at the time. I did retweet it. But I got a bunch of attention on that tweet. I didn't think I would. This is my own tweet, by the way. The tweet I was tweeting from was NBC News. Reporting the widow of Pat Tillman says she doesn't want his image used as a politically divisive ploy in President Trump's feud with the NFL players. Boy, did that get a lot of attention. Boy, was I surprised at how much attention it got.
Well, Pat Tillman is, you know, that's one of those hot button topics, you know, the whole way he died, the story surrounding his whole death is just horrific. You know, he
just awful,
terrible.
Really, I used to write about him a lot. He was a good guy. Anyway,
yep.
I'm looking at the time.
Yes.
Randy Singer, who is wrote Mrs. Doubtfire. Rosa Parks was not protesting the bus. Gandhi was not protesting the food. Players are not protesting the anthem. It's the injustice. Stupid.
Good one.
Yeah. Trump tells dinner guests, this is from Ari Melber, his fight with the NFL has really taken off. So it's all about him.
It's all about ratings for him. It's about, you know, watching ratings. It's taken off. Hey, people are talking about it. This is all this man cares about.
Right. He even said, CNN tweeted Trump at private dinner on NFL feud. It's really caught on. I said what millions of Americans were thinking. And Soledad O'Brien said, basically, quote, I have figured out that saying racist things appeals to racists.
Yes. Right.
And I have one more.
Okay.
Jeff Sessions decries, quote, fragile egos at colleges as his DOJ moves to retry the woman who laughed at him.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
Seriously.
Because that was thrown out.
And he's going to retry.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Okay. I had a few ones dealing with Graham Cassidy. Ted Lieu tweeted out, POTUS has not provided casualty estimates of war in North Korea. Letter with Representative Ruben Gallego asking for those estimates. And he tweeted the letter. And then Howie Klein retweeted that with even more serious than a CBO score, which is true. Ian
yes.
Millhiser of Think Progress tweeted, the biggest problem with Graham Cassidy was that it was an immoral monstrosity that only a sociopath could support. And Allie Davis, who's very funny,
Yay.
By the way,
I love Allie,
tweeted,
yeah.
Please think of Graham Cassidy as the villain in every slasher movie. It will keep getting back up. Keep calling.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
And with that, you know, that's, again, it's not September 30th or October 1st yet. So I don't trust them that this is over. Keep calling. It's good to feel a sense of relief, but it ain't over till it's over. And then they could bring it back up any time. So just remember, this is an ongoing battle to keep our health care.
Absolutely.
All right. With that, gotta laugh. Find her on the Twitters, GOTTALAFF. Gotta laugh. And here every Tuesday, shooting
and
the shit.
And soon to be called the mispronunciator.
Okay, mispronunciator. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
All right. And with that, we're done for Tuesday. Tomorrow, I know healthcare is dead right now, but we're still going to talk to Wendell Potter anyway, because there's, no celebrating. See you then. Thanks for listening, everyone. Nicole Sandler out.